Welcome to Ask JTF. This is the program in which we attempt to answer questions from our great JTFers. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach from the Jewish Task Force, and this program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Mitman, Shlomo Ben Sara, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to Ilui Neshamot, Elevating of the Souls, for Malka Bat Meir, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Daniel Nankin, Victor Chazdai, Pesach Zeb Ben Dov, Lunita Adler, Shifra Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Barry Hoffman, Harab Mir Kahana, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba, Yosef Ben Meir, Robert Mitman, Dennis Shore, Helen Friedman, and Charles Zolot. And on this program, people often ask, how do we contribute to the Hilltop Youth? Because JTF is the one organization that is financially supporting the Hilltop Youth. And it's very easy to make a contribution to help. All you do is go to our... There are actually two ways to do it. One of the ways is that you just go to our Hebrew main page, our Hebrew page, and that's hayamin.org. You go to hayamin.org, and you'll see a donate button on top, and you click on the donate button, and it's very easy to make a contribution at that point. That's through PayPal. You don't have to have a PayPal account, by the way, to make a one-time contribution. If you wanted to make weekly contributions or continuous contributions, then you need a PayPal account. But if you just want to make, every time you want to make a one-time contribution, you don't need a PayPal account for that. And the second way that you can contribute to the Hilltop Youth is making checks or money orders out and sending them through the regular mail. And you send them to JTF, P.O. Box 650327, Fresh Meadows, New York, 11365. That's JTF, P.O. Box 650327, Fresh Meadows, New York, 11365. And I just want to say something in connection with that. You know, you have Itamar Ben-Gvir, who is a member of the Israeli Knesset, member of the Israeli Parliament, and who has millions of dollars now at his disposal. First of all, he personally has become very wealthy as an attorney and a member of the Knesset. And he's very famous now. He's all over Israeli television, radio, the internet, all over the place. Everyone in Israel knows him. And yet he has never accomplished a single thing. He has not built a single house for the Jews in Judea and Samaria, which is the real struggle to prevent the creation of a so-called Palestinian state, which would be national suicide for Israel. Of course, there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians. But if he has never built a single house, he has never contributed anything to the... in a meaningful way, in a practical way, to the struggle to save the land of Israel from national suicide, from an insane suicidal plan that would push Israel back to borders which are only 6 to 9 miles wide, which is what a so-called Palestinian state would do. All it is a bluff. He goes on television, he does interviews, he says he doesn't agree with Rabbi Kahana or his philosophy anymore. So what is the point? He agrees with Benjamin Netanyahu and the phony right. You might as well be a member of the Likud. He hasn't accomplished anything. And there's so many other people like that out there. They don't accomplish anything. They don't actually contribute anything. If he would just take out his checkbook, his personal checkbook, because he's worth a lot of money, and help the Hilltop Youth, and help the Jews in Judea and Samaria, that would be something worthwhile. And not just him, but many others. There's a whole group of rabbis who say they support the Hilltop Youth. They have access to millions of dollars. They have access to a lot of money. They should be helping. But you know, and I'm happy that they've issued statements saying they support the Hilltop Youth. I'm very happy about that. But the only organization that is actually contributing to the Hilltop Youth is our organization, JTF. And by the way, don't blame the Hilltop Youth for the criticisms. This is coming from Chaim Ben Pesach and JTF now. It's not coming from the Hilltop Youth. So don't blame them for the criticisms. Okay? We just send them money. But don't blame them. I'm the one who's doing the criticizing here, because I want to push people and motivate people to do something concrete, not just talk. People with tremendous influence and access to power and access to money who could do great things are doing nothing. And JTF, which doesn't have any of those things, is the one group left doing the things that have to be done. This past week, a road was built on one of the Jewish hilltop communities, one of the essential Jewish hilltop communities. Things are being done. But nobody's helping other than JTF, and maybe there are individual donors out there that help, that sometimes give money, Israeli donors that give money not through JTF but directly to Hilltop Youth People as well. We, of course, also give directly to Hilltop Youth People. But on an organizational level, we're the only group that's helping, and most of the money that they're getting is coming from us. Most of the money is coming from us, and that's pathetic because we're not a big, wealthy organization with a big budget. That's pathetic. So let's work hard to figure out ways to help them, because we need to help them. Because this is a historic battle. The Arab enemies of Israel and the Jewish people who want to destroy Israel are building on the ground constantly. They're taking over more and more land illegally with illegal building. And once they do the illegal building, the Israeli government doesn't have the guts to throw them out and destroy their illegal building and kick them out. So we're in a very bad situation where we're losing on the ground, except in those strategic hilltops where the Hilltop Youth have moved in. That's the only place where we're gaining anything. But it's not enough. We need to have much more. So I just wanted to make that point even before we begin our program, because it is so pathetic that JTF, with our pathetic little budget, that we are the ones in the forefront of this battle, without the millions of dollars, without the big influence, with a spokesman, Chaim Ben Pesach, who can't even set foot in Israel. And we're the ones, you know, raising the money and pushing to provide the resources so that these heroic young Jews could save Israel from national suicide. These heroic young Jews who live without electricity sometimes, without electricity, without running water, and with their families. And it's just, you know, a road was, I was telling you that a road was built in one of these Jewish communities this past week. If not for that road, before that road, do you know what they used to do? In the rainy season in Israel, they would walk out in the mud up to their ankles, mud up to their ankles. Women with little babies walking in the mud up to their ankles because they had no road and no other way to get to when they leave their one room home. Now, at least in one of those communities, at least they have a road so that they won't have to walk in the mud anymore. And so that they could be cleaner and take care of their babies. Anyway, may Hashem help them. May Hashem bless them and help them, because they're the Maccabees of our generation. May Hashem bless and help the efforts of JTF to bring them the resources they need. And I hope that other people will take over from JTF, people who have much more money and are much more powerful than we are. I hope they take over this, because we're not big enough or powerful enough to handle the enormity of the challenge. We're fighting the battle, but we need help. We need help. So everyone out there, help promote us. Help fight for us. We need your help. Let's get in this together. Because this really is the fight. This is the fight for Jewish survival now. Let's go directly now to our JTF questions from our great JTFers. And we start out with Ram 770 or Ram 770. You can take your choice in Hebrew. It's either one is okay. Ram from Israel asks me questions in Hebrew. By the way, don't worry, those of you who don't speak Hebrew. It's just Ram is going to ask questions in Hebrew. It's going to be very quick, and then we're going to go right into the English questions. And I'm going to translate what Ram is writing anyway. Okay. Shalom Chaim Hayakar Mashlomcha. Hello Chaim, dear Chaim, how are you? מה דעתך על זה שמתן כהנה הרשע רוצה לשנות את כל הרבנות והכשרות? Okay, what is your opinion about the fact that Matan Kahana is a cabinet minister, that the Matan Kahana, the evil Matan Kahana, wants to change the rabbinate and the kosher and the kosher supervision in Israel. Mitzad echad Ram, gamani neged ha-monopol של השסניקים והאגודיסטים האלה בכשרות, ברבנות. אני חושב שזה לא טוב למדינה שלנו, זה לא טוב ליהדות, זה לא טוב לתורה, זה לא טוב לעם שלנו, שאנשים שבאים מתנועות וממפלגות של מושחתים כמו השסניקים והאגודיסטים, שהם משתלטים על כל השירותים האלה. אבל מהצד השני, אני לא רוצה שאנשים שבאמת לא, שהם לא ישמרו על כשרות אמיתית, חס וחלילה, אני לא רוצה שהם יוכלו להיות השופטים והדיינים אני מקווה או המשכיחים, אני מקווה שזה גם לא יקרה. אז זה עניין מסובך בגלל המצב שלנו בארץ. Okay, what I said to Ram is, on the one hand, I don't like the fact that the Shasnikim, people from the Shas party, or the Agudistim, the people from Agudo, which is the Ashkenazi version, and Shas is the Sephardic version, I don't like the fact that they have a monopoly on kashrut, on kosher supervision, and on rabbinate, and all these other things in Israel. I don't like that because they're corrupt. These are corrupt people, and they're bad people, and what they're doing is bad for Judaism. So I'm not happy with that. On the other hand, I don't want people who are not going to really guard kashrut the way it's supposed to be, and are not going to be, for instance, strict about these things. I don't want them taking over either. So it's a complicated problem here. We need an alternative. We need an alternative solution here. And now Ram writes, and I quote, "Ze busha v'cherpa ech ata choshev shekedai lehitkonen labechirot habaot, shetie lecha behatzlacha legabei ha'aliyah shelcha." And now Ram writes, "It's a disgrace, and a shame, and a disgrace. And how should we prepare for the next elections? And you should have success with your aliyah." Okay, preparing for the next elections, I don't know what to say. Ani lo yodea ech lehitkonen labechirot ki ein miflaga she'ani tomech ba. Az ani lo yodea ma lomar legabei habechirot. Aval ani modeh lecha Ram. And I just told Ram that I don't know how to prepare for the elections because there is no party in Israel that I support. I think they're all terrible. But I thank him for the questions. And now we go to the great Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, "One, if Trump would have won a second term and kept his promise to withdraw from Afghanistan, would he carry out the withdrawal in the proper way, unlike Biden?" Unquote. Well, I don't know what he would have, if he would have. He's a bluff. Obviously, he promised he was going to withdraw from Afghanistan and did not. So obviously he wouldn't do it right. Obviously, if he doesn't even keep his word, he doesn't keep his promise. It would be a joke, just like his claim that he's going to build the wall. He's going to build a big, great wall, which would have been good. We very much would need to have a big wall all across the U.S.-Mexican border. That's what should be done. He only built 5% of the wall. He didn't even try to start building the wall for the first 2 years of his presidency. It was all a lie, all a bluff. How could people be so damn stupid? So of course it wouldn't have been done properly, and you know, and it's of course not. Everything he did was sloppy and ineffective. And now Binyamin writes too. Discuss Congolese Rice. Well, she was Secretary of State under Bush, and she was of course a black anti-Semite. Because most of the black Republicans, you know, the black Republicans, are also anti-Semites. And that's important to say because Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, a black Republican, is now being spoken about as a possible presidential candidate, God forbid. It would be terrible. Complete phony, a complete fraud. He would be a disaster. And Condoleezza Rice, when the minute she became Secretary of State, she was very anti-Israel, very anti-Semitic, a terrible Secretary of State, a catastrophe. And she, you know, she together with Colin Powell, whom you ask about next, you ask Colin Powell, Yimach Shmo v'zichro, you know, Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, you know, two black Republicans, so-called. And by the way, Colin Powell, the so-called black Republican, supported Barack Hussein Obama for president. He's saying you can't trust them. Anyway, two anti-Semites, two enemies of Israel, and this is what you get when they're in power. And we should remember that. We shouldn't forget that. They can't be trusted. Congressman Elijah Cummings, Benjamin asks about now. Congressman Elijah Cummings, well, he was a Jew-hating black member of the Congressional Black Nazi Caucus, which is an organization that works together with Louis Farrakhan and with other black Nazis. Literally, I mean, Louis Farrakhan's literally a black Nazi. And that shouldn't surprise us, because Barack Hussein Obama, who was president of the United States for two terms and who got 78% of the Jewish vote the first time he ran. Can you imagine? He got 78% of the Jewish vote. And he's a Farrakhan supporter. He went to Farrakhan's Million Man March, Obama, together with members of the Congressional Black Caucus. They all went to Farrakhan's rally and supported Farrakhan. And Obama, we've shown you many times the picture. I'm not going to show it to you now, but we've shown you the picture many times of Obama taking a picture together with Farrakhan, smiling and taking a picture together with him. I mean, when are we going to learn that the black community as a whole, now, there may be black individuals who are different, there may be exceptions to the rule, but they're exceptions to the rule. The rule is that the black community as a whole has declared war on Jews. On Jews in particular, and on whites in general. And I don't care if it's popular, unpopular, whatever. That is a fact. And anyone who says I'm a racist for saying this, I'm anti-racist. They're the racists. They're the ones whose leader Farrakhan said that Hitler was a great man and that the Jews deserve a Holocaust and that all whites are devils who are going to be exterminated by Allah. They're the ones who are working together with Farrakhan and go to the rallies of Louis Farrakhan, the Klan with a tan. They're the racists. I'm an anti-racist for opposing them. And finally, Congressman John Lewis, Benjamin asks about Congressman John Lewis, Yimach Shmo v'zichro, another piece of garbage, who's the great hero, the icon of the civil rights movement. Big deal. What a piece of crap. What a piece of garbage. Congressman John Lewis. Before his death, he started condemning Israel. Of course, he also, by the way, he had a sacred covenant with Farrakhan, went to Farrakhan's rallies, supported Farrakhan, supported Jesse Jackson, supported Barack Hussein Obama, supported everything against Israel, and started condemning Israel, started all of a sudden just coming out making speeches condemning Israel, even though everything he has comes from Jews, comes from six self-hating Jews who did for the black Jew haters what they never did for 6 million Jews during the Holocaust, what they never did for their Jewish brothers and sisters in the Soviet Union, what they would never do for Israel. Most American Jews stab Israel in the back and support black Jew haters like Congressman John Lewis. Thank you very much, Benjamin. And now we go to another great JTFer, Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what do you think about the removal of statues of historical figures in the United States, like the recent removal of the Thomas Jefferson statue from New York City Hall, as well as the removal of statues of Confederate soldiers like Robert E. Lee, unquote. It's just, it shows that this country, Joe, is just insane. This is an insane asylum. Thomas Jefferson? I mean, the people who gave us the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, and the third president of the United States, and one of the greatest people in American history, Thomas Jefferson, his statue now is not welcome. But we have huge streets and boulevards in Manhattan named after Malcolm X, who worked with the head of the American Nazi Party, who had rallies together with the head of the American Nazi Party. I spoke to you about this, I think, in plural, everybody who sees these videos. We spoke about this I think last week or the week before on our program, that Malcolm X and Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam, they had rallies together with the American Nazi Party. There was a group called the American Nazi Party, and they held rallies together. They worked together. And they have boulevards named after black Nazis like this? But Thomas Jefferson, you can't have his statue up there. Of course, it's insanity. It's unbelievable. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld. And now we go to Yemach Shmo to Islam, who writes, and I quote, "Rap is the worst music ever, wouldn't you agree?" Unquote. Oh, I absolutely agree. I can't stand it. It just goes through you when you hear it. It's, first of all, it's filthy. Almost all the rap is filthy and obscene and dirty, because it comes from dirty people with dirty minds. Filthy, nasty, dirty people with obscene language. Their mothers teach them. I can't say their father's teaching, because they don't know who their daddy be. They don't know who their daddy be. So I can't say their fathers teach them. But because over 80% of babies born in black communities are illegitimate. In the black community, are illegitimate. They're born out of wedlock. So their mothers curse around them. Their mothers use filthy, foul language, and they use filthy, foul language, and they have songs about raping women and about drugs and about murdering people. And all of them, and they make anti-Semitic remarks and anti-Semitic comments, even though their agents are Jewish and everybody promoting them are all self-hating Jews. Oh, how disgusting. Oh, how unbelievably disgusting. And by the way, it's not music. There is no music there. What music? It's just ranting. It's just ignorant guerrilla ranting. Thank you very much, Yemach Shmo to Islam. And now we go to the great Nekama, whose questions are always fantastic, and who writes, and I quote, "Der Chaim, one, Baruch Hashem, I just planned a trip to visit Israel in January to visit my daughter who's studying in seminary. Can you please suggest new places to visit that aren't the obvious tourist traps?" Unquote. Some of the places that I would... Of course you're going to visit the wall, and of course in Jerusalem, and of course you're going to visit the Me'arat HaMachpelah in Hebron, and some of the places are tourist trap, but we all, as Jews, we want to visit those places. But I think you should try to visit communities in Judea and Samaria. See if there are tours, or there's something going, or there's a way for you to make visits to Judea and Samaria, to see the beautiful communities there. That's worth seeing. Judea and Samaria, in my opinion, as someone who has seen most of the United States, and the United States is a beautiful country. God created a beautiful country here in the United States, but created many other beautiful countries throughout the world, because God is a loving God. But to me, nothing is as beautiful as Judea and Samaria. The hills, the mountains there, and the hills, and it's just so breathtakingly beautiful. It's so magnificent, and it's such holy, sacred land. I think that's worthwhile if you can find a way to see if there are any tours or any way to visit there. That's what I would suggest you do. Try to visit places like the Jewish community, like Kiryat Arba, and communities in Judea and Samaria. I think that's really what I would suggest. Nekama now writes, and I quote, "Two, I never understood why some Jews make pilgrimages to graves of tzaddikim when they are located in Nazi or Arab Nazi countries, example, Poland, Ukraine, Morocco, etc. And should these tzaddikim be reburied in Israel to fix this obscenity? Kol hakavod." Okay. Nekama writes now that he doesn't understand why. There are Jews who go and visit the graves of tzaddikim, or saintly people, or very holy people. And it's good to visit their graves. There's nothing wrong with visiting their graves, but not in Nazi countries, as Nekama points out. It's terrible. And there are many examples of this. The most notorious example now is what the Breslav do. what the Breslav do with Rabbi Nachman, where they were like 20,000 of them. There are about 20,000 tourists descend on Uman in the Ukraine every year to visit the grave of Rabbi Nachman in Uman. Now, the Ukraine is a nation, a Nazi nation, that murdered hundreds of thousands of Jews during the Holocaust. They fought fanatically with the Nazis, with Nazi Germany during the Holocaust. The Ukraine is a nation where they rounded up tens of thousands of Jewish men, women, and children and made them dig a mass grave, made them dig their own graves, a mass grave, and then threw them in the grave. Sometimes they shot and killed them first, but sometimes they didn't bother with that. They just threw them in the grave and buried them alive. And the dirt would be moving, and they tried desperately trying to breathe as they were buried alive under all the dirt. They did this to tens of thousands of Jews at Babi Yar, and the other atrocities they committed were so horrific beyond description. And these are not the German Nazis. The German Nazis, of course, supported it, but these are Ukrainian Nazis. The Ukrainian Nazis, who to this day are idolized by the Ukrainian people. Now, Ukraine does have a so-called Jewish president now, a self-hating Jew who describes himself as the president of, I don't know if it's president or prime minister, but he's the leader of Ukraine. Nazis will elect self-hating Jews to run their countries if they believe that the self-hating Jews are willing to betray and stab their own people in the back. They will do that. They did that with Bruno Kreisky in Austria. And they would, you know, and God forbid it could happen in the United States. You could have a Jewish president of the United States, which would be a catastrophe. But Ukraine, this country that is soaked with the blood of so many innocent Jewish men, women, and children, and they do so much. The Breslev Hasidim, call themselves Hasidim, and the other Jews that go to this grave, it is such a Chilul Hashem, it's such a desecration of God's name, it's such a violation of Jewish law for them to leave the Holy Land of Israel for this despicable, depraved, bloodthirsty country soaked with the blood of innocent Jews. And they do so much to support the Ukrainian economy by doing so. They, of course, they have to pay for hotels and food and everything else and transportation and everything. I mean, tremendous boost to the Ukrainian economy when they go. Tens of thousands of them. That's a big tourist boost for Ukraine. Because who else would want to go to that godforsaken, ugly country? It's just, you know, it's absolutely unbelievable. And yes, I think, I don't know, reburying them in Israel, you know, I don't know what the answer is. If that would help, then I would be all for it. But, you know, are we going to convince, how do you do that? And how do you get permission to do that? That's very questionable that we'd be able to get permission to do that. But if we could, I would be in favor of it. Thank you so much, Nekama. And now we go to the great Hirvatsky Noachide, who also asks great questions every week. And Hirvatsky writes, and I quote, "Gentiles are commanded to fear God according to Sefer HaChinuch, Commandment 432. This is included in the Torah's prohibition of blasphemy. Can you give some advice how to increase one's fear of God?" Unquote. Well, you know, the Jewish concept is, the Hebrew word is actually yirah. And you know, yirah, it can mean fear. It can mean the way we define fear. It can mean fear as we define it. But it can also mean awe. And eventually we want to have awe of God. And how do you have awe of God? Well, first of all, as far as fear of God, we all know that we're all headed to the grave. And we all know if the Messiah doesn't come and there's not Techiyat HaMetim, and the resurrection of the dead within our lifetime, then we're going to be dead and buried. That should scare the living daylights out of anybody, you know, knowing that they're going to be headed to the grave and that they're going to be judged and there's a day of judgment. We all know that. By the way, Judaism created some interesting new things in the world. Before Judaism, people believed there were evil gods and good gods and bad gods, and they believed they believed that there were bad gods also. And when there were things like the flood, they said the flood is because the gods, Hamabul, that the flood, all the other religions from all the other peoples from all around the world said this is because the gods were fighting with each other. And this, the Greeks and the Romans and the Persians, and they all believe that the Zoroastrian Persians believe that there's one good god and one evil god that are constantly at war. The Greeks and the Romans, of course, believed in many gods. And again, that fight with each other and are jealous of each other and hate each other and have wars against each other. The Jews introduced the concept that now is pretty much universally accepted, that God is good. That God is good. That God has to be good. First of all, he's perfect, so of course he's going to be good. God is absolute perfection. God is the highest being and all-powerful, and so of course, as the essence of perfection and being all-powerful, he has to be good. And the fact that God created the world shows how much God loves us. The mere fact that God didn't have, if God is absolutely perfect, he doesn't get lonely, he doesn't need to create the world. This was an act of altruism. This was an act of love that God created the world. But we should fear, because all of us commit sins. And all of us are imperfect beings. And all of us will be judged, because God is not just a God of love and kindness. He is a God of love and kindness, but he's also a God of truth. And so all of us should be concerned about Yom HaDin, about the Day of Judgment. Every Jew and every Gentile will stand before God, and all of us will be judged. We should be concerned about that. We should be very concerned. Tempted to go off into a million stories, but then this program will be 3 hours long. I'm tempted to go into stories about Shmuel HaNavi, about Samuel the prophet, how he was concerned when he was called up by Shaul, by the king Saul, and he thought that he was being called up for the final judgment. That's why he tells Saul in the book of Samuel, why'd you call me up? And why? Because he was actually worried that he's being called up for the final judgment. Even he was worried, and he, one of the greatest human beings ever to live, one of the most righteous human beings ever to live, and even he was worried. So if he was worried, how much more so should we be worried? And I could give another million illustrations, and I'm tempted to, but I'm going to control myself. I'm not going to go off and start giving another million illustrations, so that we can get to the other questions, because otherwise we'll never get to the other questions. But Hrvatsky does that to me. Hrvatsky gives me subjects that are so good that I'm tempted to go off with a million different examples, because Hrvatsky's questions are always very good. But anyway, the bottom line is this with Yira. We should fear God for our own good, for our own sake. Because if we fear God and understand that he is a God of truth and of justice, that means that there'll be good things waiting for us when we do good things, but when we do bad things, as all of us sometimes do, there'll be bad things waiting for us as well. So we should fear God for our own good, for our own sake. Obviously, a perfect God, a God of justice, when we look at ourselves and look at the things that we do wrong, we should be concerned. We should be concerned. We should judge ourselves honestly. But Yirah, in Hebrew, as mentioned earlier, it doesn't only mean fear in the traditional sense, the way we describe fear in English. It also means awe. Because we should be in awe of God, the all-powerful God. And what does that mean? If suddenly the President of the United States, all of you that are watching now, the President of the United States came up to you, came to your house with his limousine and everything else, and came to your house and said, you know what? I'm going to make everything easy for you now. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to watch out for you. I'm going to make sure that everything goes smoothly. You'll never face bureaucracies anymore. You'll never face any problems anymore. As long as I'm president, I'm going to be there. You can call on me anytime. I'm there for you. I'm there to help you. We would be so grateful, we'd be so overwhelmed. Wow, the president cares about me. Why does he care about me? Who am I? Well, I can't believe the president of the United States cares about me and wants to help me. And he's doing. And what about the president pulled out of his pocket, from his own pocket, from his own personal money, pulled out money and handed you money. And just, you know, you would be in awe. If the President of the United States would put you in awe, or any other famous, powerful person who came up to you and offered to do this for you would put you in awe of that person, how much more so should we be in awe that the Creator of the universe, who is infinitely greater than anyone or anything, cared enough to create us, had enough love in him and enough altruism in him to create us because he wants to do good for us. We should be in awe of the fact that the Creator does care about everything we do and does watch everything we do and does listen to our prayers and does pay attention and watch over us always. We should be in awe over this. And that should lead us to want to do good. That's a higher level than just simple fear. Fear is good too. People should have a healthy fear because we have an evil inclination. We should have a fear of doing evil. But we should also be in awe and want to do good because God is good and because we're grateful to him for the good that he does for us. That's also the word yirah, which is the word in Hebrew for fear and for awe. It has both of those meanings, and we want to go to the higher level. Eventually, we want to graduate to the higher level where we are in awe of God. Thank you, Hirvatsky. And now we go to our friend Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, "Your opinion on South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem." I don't like her. And Chicago Jew, you know, let's understand something. Anybody ask me about politicians, and I don't mind, people on this program are free to ask about politicians, but you're going to get negative answers 99% of the time when you ask me about politicians. Because I can't stand politicians. I think politicians are the ultimate phonies. And I am astounded at how many people are fooled by them and think they're sincere and think they're wonderful. They are the ultimate phonies. And it doesn't matter if they're Democrats or Republicans or liberals or so-called conservatives. They are frauds. They're phonies. I don't like Democrats. And I don't like almost all Republicans. There may be a few exceptions among the Republicans. I don't like any Democrats at all. And obviously I don't like anyone on the left. And on the right, I don't see any real right. I see only a phony right here. And, you know, Kristi Noem, she's done things that, in my opinion, demonstrate. First of all, I don't agree with her and like what she did with the coronavirus. South Dakota, this is another example of what happens when you don't have social distancing and you don't have masks and you don't have vaccinations and you have someone who says, no, we have a right, we have a constitutional right to drop dead from the coronavirus and spread it all over the place. I mean, you know, when you have that type of insane philosophy, she pursued that type of philosophy in South Dakota. And guess what? South Dakota is the third highest state of infections in terms of number of cases in proportion to population. Third highest out of the 50 states. That's what happened. Florida, I think, is the highest. I think. I'm not sure, but Florida is very high. You know, because you have a governor there that does the same thing. So I don't like what she did with coronavirus, and I don't like her policies. Also, just to give you an example of why I think she's such a phony. You know, she came out, she claimed to be a big Trump supporter, big Trumpster, a fanatic Trumpster. But there's one thing where she vigorously opposed Trump. On one issue, she was bitterly against Trump. On the sanctions that he placed on China, on communist China. That she was against, because she wants the big farm interest, the big agriculture and agribusiness interests in her state that fund her. They want to do business with China. And so, because of that, she condemned Trump on the China sanctions and was against the China sanctions, vigorously against the China sanctions. What a phony. We shouldn't have sanctions on China, which gave us the coronavirus, on China, which has become the new superpower challenge to the United States. We're going to be in a lot of trouble if we don't face up to China. And she thinks that Trump was too tough on China. I think Trump was not tough enough on China. But she thinks Trump was too tough on China, that Trump we shouldn't have had sanctions even against them, just because she has agribusinesses in South Dakota that make a profit dealing with China. She's a phony. I'm sorry. I don't, Chicago Jew, I don't like politicians. Very few of them are honest, in my opinion. And I don't like people who will lead the country and society down a bad road just to advance their political careers. I'm sorry. I can't respect people like that. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And now we go to the great Dr. Dan, who's a really great JTFer, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, hope all is well. One, who and when was cancel culture invented and how do we end it, unquote. A cancel culture is very old. The concept that you're going to boycott and work to cancel anybody who has an opinion other than yours, that's always been with us. The only thing is it's gotten so out of control with the left now, where now no one has any free speech anymore. No one's allowed to speak anymore. I mean, just look what they did to JTF, taking down our Facebook pages and taking down... I mean, just taking us down all over the place, and we're just one out of many, many groups that have faced this fate completely unjustly. But in the meantime, you have the most vicious, hateful Iranian terrorists, Arab terrorists, Islamic terrorists, black racists, black anti-Semites. They're all welcome on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on YouTube. They're all welcome. But JTF, no, that's too extreme. What a joke. What a farce. What a joke. And so, you know, the hypocrisy of the left, the only way to fight against this is people on the right have to put together an alternative. They have to stop allowing the left to control social media and stop allowing the left to control the means of communication, and have to fight against this. That's the only answer. And now Dr. Dan writes, and I quote, two, tell us a story where you thought you were about to meet an affirmative action moron, but instead you turned out to be pleasantly surprised that the individual was nothing of that type. Rather, he or she was a polite, civilized, decent individual. And Dr. Dan also writes, thank you for everything you do. God bless you and your family. Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Dan, and God bless you and your family as well, Dr. Dan. You're really you're a great JTFer and a great human being. You really are. You know, I don't recall a situation where I thought in advance, because I give people the benefit of the doubt many times when I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. I don't recall someone whom I thought was going to be an affirmative action moron and then turned out to be. Might have been cases like that, but I don't recall that. But I will say this, Dr. Dan, because I think your question raises an interesting point here. Of course, there are black people that I've met in my life who are polite, decent, civilized individuals. Of course I've met people like that, people that I thought very highly of. I even met one in prison from Jamaica, from the island of Jamaica, who told me how much he loves the Jews. He came into my cell and started speaking to me. Maybe he's an example, actually, of what you're asking, because he was a black guy from Jamaica in prison, so I guess, obviously, that doesn't sound good. But he came into the cell and he said, you know something? He showed me his Bible. He had a Bible in his hand. He says, I read this Bible every day. And he says, my favorite stories in the Bible are about King David and about... Joshua, and he went through all the Jewish from the Jewish Bible, and he said to me, I worked with Jewish people on 47th Street in the Diamond District, and I worked with Jewish people, and they were always good to me, and they were always honest with me, and I always liked the Jews. And he said, they're not like my people. My people are a different story. This is a black guy from Jamaica telling me this. And you know, he really was a nice, decent person. A really nice, decent person. And I felt badly that what happened was he was hired to work on a ship. And on the ship, they were shipping in marijuana on the ship. And I don't know if he knew or didn't know. He told me he didn't know. I don't know if he knew or didn't know. I have no idea. But, you know, he got stuck in that situation. But he really was an exception to the rule. And of course there are exceptions, because God gives everyone of every race free will. Bechira chofshit in Hebrew, free will. We all have free will. We can all choose between good and evil. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And now we go to Judah Katz, who is relatively new to the forum, but welcome again. And Judah Katz writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, thank you very much for being normal and being with us. I really admire you. What's your opinion on Ben Shapiro and Dennis Prager? I think they're Jewish cowards and media prophet whores with people's blood on their hands. Unquote. Okay. I think Ben Shapiro, unfortunately, is opportunistic. I mean, he's someone who took good positions on some issues in the past. He was in favor, for instance, of moving the Arabs out of Israel. But then he reversed the position when he saw that that was a very unpopular position. He reversed it. He reversed himself. And now he says that it's impractical and inhumane. You know, so I think that there's opportunism there. And I'll tell you, I don't think Ben Shapiro is actually... I'm going to separate between Ben Shapiro and Dennis Prager. Dennis Prager is a pig. But... We'll deal with him afterwards. But Ben Shapiro, I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he just doesn't have the guts to stand up for something, and he just doesn't have the guts to stand up for the things that he really believes in, because I think he still really wants to get the Arabs out of Israel. But he feels he can't, he's got to be politically correct. And that's a bad thing, and I don't think that's a good thing, because the world is a bad place because of all this political correctness. But you know, Ben Shapiro, he's worth millions of dollars. He had radio talk shows and other programs. He speaks on dozens of college campuses. He's very, very famous now. So he has the ability to do good. I'll give you an example of something that he could do that's very good, that wouldn't get him into trouble. He can financially support the Hilltop Youth. He's got the bread to do it. He's got the money to do it. Why doesn't he do that? He says he supports the settlements in Israel. He says he is against the so-called two-state solution, which is a national suicide for Israel, so-called Palestinian state. Instead, he goes around and speaks and gives his opinions on issues, but he hasn't actually accomplished anything. All his speaking, hundreds of speeches and hundreds of programs he's done on the radio, and he's never accomplished anything. All of his speeches and all of his work and all of his writing and all of his columns have never led to the building of one Jewish home in Judea and Samaria, have never led to the building of one Jewish road, have never led to the expulsion of one bad Arab from the land of Israel, have never led to encouraging one single Jew move to Judea and Samaria so we'll have more Jews there, because the more Jews we have there, the more chance we have of preventing an expulsion and preventing a retreat. If we have enough Jews there, there won't be an expulsion or a retreat. He hasn't accomplished anything. He's worth millions and earns millions of dollars and has millions of people listening to him. And he has accomplished nothing with all of that. That's my problem with him and with everyone else. Because I see this issue, the Hilltop Youth, and I say, where is everybody? So that's Ben Shapiro. Dennis Prager is a different story. Dennis Prager, because you notice I didn't say Ben Shapiro is an evil, terrible, horrible. He's an opportunist, and he doesn't have the courage, in my opinion, to stand up for what he should be standing up for. And he certainly has the resources and the ability to be very helpful now, to be very helpful at a time when we desperately need help for the Hilltop Youth. Dennis Prager is a different story. Dennis Prager is evil. He's just a swine. He's a cowardly, low-life, self-hating swine who spends his time condemning Rabbi Kahana, and who doesn't speak Hebrew but said that he wanted to learn Arabic. I remember because he had a radio show in New York, and he used to say on his radio show, I'm learning Arabic, I want to learn Arabic. But he doesn't speak Hebrew, but he wants to learn Arabic. And this is someone who claimed to be an Orthodox Jew, claimed to be raised as an Orthodox Jew. But he wanted to learn Arabic but didn't speak Hebrew. And when he had a radio show, he supported abortion. I support murdering babies? That's Judaism? What type of Judaism is that? He also said that he supported adultery. between that adultery between men and women, married men and women, he supported it. He thought that there was nothing wrong with that. I mean, what is this? We don't get to make our own rules. If we believe in God and we believe in morals, we don't make our own rules. Because if everybody makes their own rules, this is a terrible world. That leads to chaos and anarchy and catastrophe for the world. God sets the rules in the Torah. And if you call yourself an Orthodox Jew, then you got to abide by that. Dennis Prager is a swine. A swine. Thank you very much, Judah Katz. And now we go to another great JTFer who always has fantastic posts on our forum, over 12,000 posts. And his posts are really, 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 really very insightful and so well written and so well thought out. And that is Kahana Was Right BT. Great posts, great JTFer. Kahana Was Right writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim. 1. Did Rabbi Kahana ever have any interactions with Rabbi Shlomo Carlbach or any stories about him? Their activities in the Jewish world seem to overlap in time, unquote. Not that I know of. When I was with Rabbi Kahana, I never saw him speak to or interact with Rabbi Shlomo Carlbach. I met Rabbi Shlomo Carlbach briefly once when I was handing out flyers at an event that he was attending. So I met him once. I was handing out flyers for the JDL for us during our Soviet Jewry campaign, and I was standing outside the event and handing out flyers, which is something I used to do frequently when I was younger. I wouldn't mind doing it now when I'm older either. I think that never hurts to do that. But so I just met him once for a couple of minutes, but I've never actually seen. I don't know if there was any interaction as far. Not in my presence, there wasn't. I don't know. And Connor was right now writes, and I quote, 2. What is your opinion on the comedian Dave Chappell? Well, he's an example of what I'm talking about with the problem we have with blacks in the United States and blacks in general. And again, you know, I couldn't care less about the pigment of his skin color. I don't care about what the color of his skin is. But I don't like evil. And it just so happens that blacks in general are so anti-Semitic and so anti-white. He, by the way, for those of you who don't know, he's a comedian. Anyway, he's gotten all types of awards. The establishment loves him. If the establishment loves him, that in and of itself tells you something. Because the establishment doesn't like anyone who's good. Ever. The establishment never honors or wants or supports anyone who's good. But anyway, Dave Chappell converted to Islam 30 years ago. Converted to Islam. Now, why would a black person convert to a religion which teaches that the black race is inferior? Muhammad considered blacks to be inferior. It's in the Hadith. And which started, they originated slavery in Africa. The original slave traders, the people who started the slave trade, that was eventually adopted by the British and the Dutch and European slave traders. But the original slave traders in Africa were the Arabs. And the Arabs were the most brutal slave traders. And you know something? The Arabs still have slaves. The Arabs and the Muslims still have black slaves to this day. The only countries in the world where there is still black slavery are the Arab and Muslim countries. Why would anybody convert to that religion? That's like a Jew wanting to join the Nazi party. It's just insanity. It's insanity. And because he has joined a religion that calls for the extermination of all Jews and the extermination of all non-Muslim infidels, that means he represents evil. He has joined evil. He's joined the ranks of evil. So obviously, I don't like him, to say the least. Thank you. Kahana was right. Great questions as always. And now we go to Am Raphael, who writes, and I quote, Erev Tov Chaim. Erev Tov means good evening, Chaim. May you create a Telegram or Discord group so we can post media. That's the first point. You know, Hirvatsky has already created a Telegram group for us. I don't have it in front of me, but I know that if you search our forum, there's a post, you know, just put, you, there's a search button on top, you can search, you can put Telegram JTF, and you'll find a post where I remember responding to the post where Hidovatsky created, he created a Telegram group, we have a Telegram group, and he created a Telegram chat group for us too. So we have two groups, we have Telegram group and we have a Telegram chat group. And there's a third Telegram group in Hebrew that Ron from Israel created for us in Hebrew for Hebrew speakers. I don't think the Hebrew group is very active, as far as I know. I don't think it's active, but it exists. But the first two groups in English, Hidovatsky created for us. As far as Discord is concerned, I don't know very much about Discord. But if you would like to create a group for us on Discord, that would be fine. Yeah, listen, we should be everywhere. We should be everywhere. Thank you very much. Oh, you have one more question. What is some good kosher music you like? Unquote. Well, you know, in general, you know, I'm half Sephardic and half Ashkenazi. And I love both cultures. I love Mizrahi music. I love Sephardic music. I love it. Sephardic Hebrew music, especially if it has a Sephardic music, Sephardic Hebrew music with a Torah theme. I love it. I love the melody. I love the way they sing. I love it. And I like Ashkenazi music too. By the way, Sephardic, for those who don't realize, the word comes from people who were expelled during the Spanish Inquisition, like my family on my mother's side of the family. And then Jews in general who lived in the Arab world, the Muslim world, third world countries, they're called Sephardic. And I think they have a beautiful culture and beautiful music. The other music, the Ashkenazi music, Ashkenazi are on the other hand, are Northern and Northern Europeans and more European-oriented music. Or more European-oriented cultures, are the Ashkenazi Jews. Ashkenaz literally means Germany, but it refers to the Jews, because most of the Jews at one time were in Germany at one time. But Ashkenazi has come to mean the Jews who, Germany, Russia, Northern European countries, the Western world, that's the Ashkenazi Jews. And I love Ashkenazi klezmer music. There's a lot of Ashkenazi music that's also very good. I like music with a Torah theme. I like music that inspires Jews to return to the Torah. Thank you very much. I'm Raphael, and now we go to my very good friend EB22, a very good friend of our organization and our forum, EB22, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim. As we know, real peace for Israel with any Palestinian entity in any Muslim-majority country is impossible. It shouldn't be attempted. My question is as follows. Do you think the following actually believe real peace for Israel with any Palestinian entity is possible? Israeli MK... Okay, first, the Israeli MKs, meaning members of the Knesset. I think Israeli members of the Knesset know that it's impossible. They know that it's impossible. And they have their own agendas as to why they claim to be promoting so-called peace, even though they know that there's not going to be any peace. Because they're serving in the Knesset with Arab members of the Knesset who hate their guts. So, I mean, they know that it's not. I think they know that deep down, whether they admit it or not, they know it's not possible, I think. And then EBS about Jewish congressional representatives in the U.S. and Jewish MPs, meaning members of parliament elsewhere, that support a peace plan. I don't know what they know, because Jews outside of Israel are very assimilated and could be very ignorant, and they may not know. I don't know what they know, what they don't know. I do know that they're willing to sacrifice Israel in 2 seconds in order to appease anti-Semites, in order to appease all of our enemies. Which is why I'm against Jews serving in office outside of Israel, because they almost always, 99.9% of the time, they always stab their people in the back. And EB now writes, non-Jewish congressional representatives in the U.S. and non-Jewish MPs elsewhere that support a peace plan. I don't know. I've seen interviews after the Oslo agreements. I remember seeing an interview on television, one of the morning TV programs, Good Morning America, or one of the other programs that were on in the morning at that time. And I remember them interviewing people in the street. Do you think this is real? Do you think there could ever really be peace between Jews and Arabs? Every single person they interviewed, they're all goyim. None of them were Jewish. Goyim, by the way, means nations, which is how we refer to non-Jews. It's how the Bible refers to non-Jews, meaning nations. Israel, by the way, is also a goy. Israel is also a nation and is referred to as such in the Tanakh. But in slang, we refer to Gentiles as nations, as the nations. Everyone they interviewed, none of the people they interviewed was Jewish. And everybody they interviewed said that they don't think it's possible that there'll be peace between Jews and Arabs after all these years and so much. They don't think it's possible. Why? Because they're normal. They were sane. They weren't these self-hating crazy Jews. They were normal, insane people. So I have a feeling that the non-Jewish representatives would also feel that way, except Donald Trump created a situation with his so-called agreements, the so-called Abraham Accords, which is a disgrace to use the sacred name of Abraham Avinu, of Abraham our fathers, for those horrible agreements. He created a situation where there are some people who believe it is possible now, even though it isn't. So, I don't know. I think it's depends. I think it depends. Yes. Anyway, thank you, EB22. And now we go to Chabad Kahanist, who's also a great JTFer, always posts very interesting material on our forum. Chabad Kahanist writes, and I quote, "Do you think that Rambam was a dime dropper? And I recall the names Barry Septimus and Dennis Foreman. Do you recall who they are? I just have those names sticking in the back of my head, but do not exactly recall who they were or what their place in JDL history was," unquote. You know something, Chabad Kahanist, I'm 65 years old. I hope I'm not getting senile already, but I don't remember. I mean, the name, as far as Rambam is concerned, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. I don't have any proof one way or the other, so I'm not going to make an accusation on the program without having proof. So I'm not going to, my answer as far as Rambam is concerned is I don't know. My answer as far as Barry Septimus, I think I remember that he was from the Five Towns, if I recall correctly. I think he was from the Five Towns. I don't remember exactly. I think he was just an ordinary member. I don't remember anything specific, even though those names are very familiar to me. I just don't remember specifically. And Dennis Foreman, what role he played in JDL, I don't know, but I do remember the name, and I do remember something about him. I do remember seeing him a couple of times in a kosher falafel pizza place a couple of times. But what his role was in JDL, I honestly don't remember. Thank you, Chabad Kahanist. And now we go to Tzelhar, who also has a lot of posts and who's an Israeli member of our forum. Tzelhar writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, can you comment about the latest opinion piece of Zehava Galon from Haaretz? She calls out the generic right-wing person a racist, homophobe, beast, and threatens that we will deal with you like we dealt with the original fascists," unquote. Well, Zehava Galon and the other people from, she was also a member of the Knesset from Meretz, which is a real fascist party, Jewish Nazi party. I mean, because they support the Arab Nazis. They support those, anyone who supports the Arabs who are trying to destroy Israel is a supporter of the new Holocaust and a supporter of the new genocide against the Jewish people, is a protagonist for Holocaust and genocide against their own people. And Meretz supports the Arab campaign to destroy Israel as a Jewish state. Meretz is against a Jewish state. Meretz always takes the side of the Arabs. The current head of Meretz, this homosexual, hateful, evil Jewish anti-Semite, Horowitz, said that he agrees with The Hague, with the International Court in The Hague, initiating war crimes against Israeli people in the Israeli army for war crimes. The Israeli army for war crimes. The only war crimes the Israeli army's committed are against their fellow Jews. by expelling their fellow Jews from Jewish land and by not defending the Jewish people against the Arab Nazis who want to exterminate them. This is the ultimate evil. This is the ultimate evil. And, you know, a traitor like this, who's against the Jewish state, who wants to destroy Israel, this filthy traitor, Zehava Galon, and the newspaper Haaretz, which has always been a Nazi paper which defended the Nazis and Hitler during the 30s, these monstrous self-hating Jews, these sick, evil, self-hating Jews, they are free to do anything they want and really control, and they control Israel, they control the Israeli Supreme Court, they really control the country. They control the Israeli news media. They control the country. And I'm not allowed to set foot in Israel. Now, if that doesn't tell you what a dreadful situation we have in this generation, woe unto those that call light darkness and darkness light, good evil and evil good. Yeah. Yeshayahu Hanavi, the prophet Isaiah, he warned us this is what's going to be. He warned us this is what's going to be in the end days. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it in our time. But we're going to fight against it. We're going to fight for what's right. Thank you, Tzelhar, and together we're going to fight for justice and truth and righteousness. And this week again, we saw a new road built in a Jewish community in one of the hilltop communities, and we're making progress and trying our best to publicize the importance of the hilltop youth. And we have now hilltop youth spokesmen who have been freed up by JTF. JTF has been sending money to make sure that they can do a public relations campaign. They never had the resources before. They never had the ability. They never had a chance. They were drowning. They couldn't even feed their families. They were drowning, desperately trying to hold these hilltops so that the Arabs don't take over everything. And now, they're publishing articles. They're doing interviews. Building roads. Things are happening that at least are giving them a little bit of a fighting chance. That's what we're doing. Because their fight is our fight. And we're going to do everything we can to make sure that the hilltop youth and the Jewish people emerge victorious in this struggle over the heartland of biblical Israel. If we work together as a team, we can change Jewish history and we can make a difference. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.